Sorry, that was the wrong one. Here we go. Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, home of my baby daughter, who pay no attention to the baby screaming behind the curtain. It's just me here. There's no one else pulling the strings on this podcast. It's all me. Everything coming straight from my face to this microphone to your ears. Okay, let's get started. What's going on in the news today? Okay, we're going to be covering, we're going to be slightly ambitious, but these are all really good stories. So I really want to try to cover them all. First of all, we got a study from Harvard Researches. We have a study from Harvard researchers, rather, that say that AI is giving workers, quote, brain fry. And then the two men who brought explosives to a protest outside New York City's mayoral mansion, that's Gracie Mansion, said they were inspired by the Islamic State extremist group, ISIS. Then we're going to cover quickly Iran's 88-member assembly of experts who selected their new supreme leader. His name is Mojtaba Khamenei, and that's the country's next supreme leader, according to the news. Then we're going to end with a Georgia teacher who died after a good-natured prank by his students resulted in a fatal car accident. I'm covering that because that's mainly one of the most clicked stories in the New York Times last week. And yeah, for good reason. You'll see. So anyway, what's going on? What's happening? The world is crazy. First off, I want to say it today, happy birthday to the telephone call, because today it marks the 150 years since Alexander Graham Bell made the first telephone call from his Boston lab to his assistant in a nearby home. Oh my goodness, huh? You want to feel old? Today, it's 150 years since the first telephone call. That's like super, super old. So if you happen to be 150 or so years old, then check it out. You were born. That's when you were born, dude. Doesn't it feel like only yesterday? Anyway, so I just find it interesting because it's 150 years since the telephone. And today is also period of time in which we're living where the things we walk around that we call telephones, well, cell phones really, that we call phones are actually used the least to call anybody, and they're actually devices that divide and create discord and enmity between people, and there's a big political divide because of our telephone. So Alexander Graham Bell had no idea that this would happen, but in his defense, he was using the telephone as a telephone, and we are using our phones for anything but calling anybody. So in the 150 years, you know, this anniversary, I want to say, hey, go call your mom. When was the last time you called your mom or your dad or a friend or anybody? Call somebody. Call somebody on the phone today. Don't tweet at them. Don't at them. Don't slide into anybody's DMs. Okay? Call anybody. Call a person who ghosted you for some date or something years ago. Just call them out of the blue. It's been a while. They're not going to expect you to call them. Call them. Call them. If they pick up, be like, hey, bro, what was up with the ghosting? I didn't appreciate that. You got anything? Can you say in your defense? And, you know, and you can have like a connection with a person. Because the thing is, you know, you give that phone call, you make that phone call to that guy, and you're going to catch him off guard where the veneer of how he presented himself to you and all the glamour and glitz, if he managed to pull it together. Guys aren't known for that too often, you know, at least not straight guys. And, you know, it'll just have dropped by then. The facade will be gone, and you'll suddenly be on the phone with the person who ghosted you and realize that the person, that there was just some sad sack guy, maybe anxiety, maybe cheating, trying to cheat on his girlfriend, got cold feet, something, you know what I mean? And then you can go from feeling rejected to getting to the next level, which is that bittersweet feeling of knowing that it wasn't you, it wasn't anything, it was just people being flawed and sad, and you could just kind of get closure from that, and move on with your life, and just keep going on that road towards wherever you're going. Who knows? I mean, we're all ending up in the same place, right? So anyway, on that upbeat note, happy birthday to the first phone call. Call somebody, dude. You know what? Do a prank phone call. How about that? Make a prank phone call today. You know, connect with people. Call somebody. Call somebody and do it like in the hackiest way. Call somebody and say, hey, is your refrigerator running? Okay? And then when they're like, yes, then you go, hey, fuck you. And then just hang up. Ha 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 ha. It's like an anti-prank. You see what I'm saying? It's like an anti-joke. You just hit them with that. They won't expect it. That's like, we all need to reconnect. Get off the typing and get to calling somebody. Anyway, that's enough of that boomer style rant. Listen, what's going on today? Okay, let's cover the news. What are we talking about here? Okay. First off, we got Harvard researchers who say that AI is giving workers brain fry. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that loverly? Let's see. What's going on here? Let's go to the media view, huh? How about that? Let's check it out. Is AI productivity prompting burnout? Study finds new pattern of, quote, AI brain fry. They will find any way to scare the crap out of people about AI, no matter what. I mean, it's so good for online engagement. It's like keeping people like a deer in the headlights. People stare at their phones now, especially, you know, if you're reading the news or you're getting caught up in that BS, that you're looking at your phone, deer in the headlights. You see this whole truck of modernity, you know, whole truck, it, like just all of the things that they know scare the shit out of you enough, but just enough to just doom scroll, all packed into one truck, bright headlights, just high beams coming straight for your face perpetually. It will never stop coming though, because it's just you holding your phone to your face. You know what I mean? So that's what we're doing, is just deer in the headlights, staring at your phone, reading about how the world's going to end. And meanwhile, that's kind of it. So the promise of artificial intelligence has been simple. Let the machines do the work. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Instead, it may be creating a new headache from babysitting the machines. A new study published in Harvard Business Review suggests that instead of making work easier, AI may be giving some workers what researchers call brain fry. Yeah, what researchers? One guy eating Twinkies somewhere in some room with no air. Some airless room in the back of some academic institution. He's just there eating Twinkies, guzzling, I don't know, Four Locos. What are these researchers that research AI do? Eat Twinkies and drink Four Locos, right? That's what I did in college. Okay. Must be what they're doing, because that's what you do in college. And that's what you do in academia. Researchers surveyed about 1,500 workers and found that people constantly bouncing between multiple AI tools reported more decision fatigue and more errors. About 1 in 7 workers said they had experienced mental fatigue from juggling AI tools at work. The AI can run out far ahead of us, but we're still here with the same brain we had yesterday. Blah, blah, blah. Ah, the productivity paradox. AI can both reduce burnout and create it. Look, listen, this is very simple. This is the problem with what's happening now. We have a technology and we're developing more technology that is all geared towards basically steroiding up our productivity. Productivity, which is just this word. It's just a fucking word. And all it means is, how do you make an asshole with a suit who pays your bills basically with a paycheck, how do you make that asshole happy finally? And the problem with that is that you can't. It's a losing game. You will never win because those people are full of like a psychopathic level of, they're like just miserly about productivity. They want more. They thirst for more because it's the only thing that really translates into the right kind of statistics and numbers that they can then bring to some boardroom or you know, some stockholders meeting, some venture capitalist. It's the only thing they can bring and show them. And the bigger the numbers, the more impressed they are, the more money they get. And so you can never satiate their greed, and productivity is just the middleman between them and money. So it's like productivity just means how can they squeeze more out of us, right? And so the problem is that our technology now promises to squeeze a lot more and also like provide its own productivity. But the problem is people's brains aren't built for that tier of organization, I don't think. I think we're going to reach a wall because you can have ADHD and therefore organization. Uh-oh. My baby's crying. Is she okay? Okay, he's not answering me. He just wants to like help me do this podcast, but I feel terrible. I can't. It's like the mom brain, you know, you hear your baby crying. You just immediately, like, nothing matters. And, like, fuck this podcast. You know what I mean? But anyway, okay, look, let's get through this because I just want to get this off my chest. Okay, look, productivity is stupid, okay? I don't know how many times I have to say this to people before they start to get it, but you're going to realize that productivity is killing you, okay? You have fallen for this lie that if you could just get productive enough, you will become more. You will become successful. But the thing is, it's like there's no point in being more and more productive if the thing you're being productive about is not actually translating into anything of benefit to you personally, right? Like you can be very productive with AI tools, but does that translate to your, you know, well-being, happiness? Does that translate to you being able to spend more time with your family? Do you think that's what they want to do for you? You think that's why they want more productivity with the AI tools? No, you're never going to see your family again. The more productive they manage to make their workers with AI tools especially, the less freedom and free time you're going to have. Not more. You think it's going to free you up? No, it's their greed will drive them to the, what they want to do is like fire more people so they don't have to pay as many people to do the same job. They want one person to do five jobs. That's what's going to happen. So there's going to be all these unemployed people desperately seeking work, going out there, robbing people to feed their families. And then there's going to be like one person who has 20 jobs, one person who has the equivalent of what used to be 20 jobs in the 90s. And they never see their family ever. They are never going to see, but they make a lot of money. They make so much money that, I don't know, maybe they can hire those other people that got fired for childcare. I don't know. Maybe it'll free up everybody for childcare. But then we're all going to be running around after kids, and not everybody wants to do that. Or do we? I don't know. It's kind of cool to look after kids, actually. It actually releases a lot of endorphins, and it actually relieves anxiety. Just look it up. So I don't know if this will be a boon to humanity, but I do know that just like the issue of organization and productivity, people are, first of all, the people that are the most sensitive to it, I believe, they're just saying, they're diagnosing them with ADHD. Not everybody, but I think a lot of people who are very sensitive and kind of feel ahead of they're just kind of seeing around the corner are fatigued because, I don't know, through whatever that hypersensitivity makes them less they don't have enough staying power. They don't have the same staying power as a person who is more highly organized, who's more into being highly organized. Organized for the people with ADHD, I think, is basically when a person is really into taking things and putting them into boxes. Just for my ADHD people out there, that's organization, okay? Productivity is when you're really good at putting lots of stuff into boxes and you know which boxes they go into best. That's productivity. So the problem with that is that eventually we will all feel like we have ADHD. That's what's going to happen. That's my prognosis. Because eventually the level of organization, the tier of organization that AI is capable of cognitively is beyond ours by leaps and bounds. So you're going to feel like the way people with ADHD feel when they have to drag themselves through a Target looking for paper towels. You know, it's like a mentally exhausting to be in a place that's just a series of concentric boxes and then with fluorescent lighting beaming down on your head at the same time to like make you aware, more visible of more things, more, you know? Like that's what Targets are built like for that, to just constantly keep you, your eye, like to help you keep your fucking eyes peeled for all of the products and services so that you can be enticed by anything, everything in every little corner. Nothing is unlit. You know, there's nothing in shadows. And the problem with that is that that's too optimized. And some people are sensitive to that. And I think those people tend to get diagnosed with ADHD. That's my theory. Okay. I think ADHD for a lot of people is just people who are not interested in corporate productivity. That's kind of it. They will not jive well with corporate culture. Let's just put it that way, okay? And instead of trying to chase, you know, this corporate enterprise culture productivity BS, look, just accept the fact that you just want to take a nap under a tree, that you just want to look up at the sky, that you just want to look and see clouds and see what shapes they remind you of. Does that look like a cat? Like, you want to do that. This culture punishes people who just want to revel in the majesty of the world around them. People who want to actually stop and take a look around, it's like, give them meth. That's what they do here. Give them meth. What do they think they're doing? Looking around, looking at the grass, looking at a butterfly. Those people are sick, and we need to give them meth salts. Because they're sick. And now lately, every time they want to make a mental disorder out to be more scary than it is already, they'll be like, you know, they die more. You know, they die more. They're more likely to die, you know? It's like, okay, sure. A lot of people are more likely to die for many, many reasons. Does that mean everyone needs to be fixed? Like, are we just broken? Because of that? Is that brokenness? Is that why? Because maybe a person with ADHD likes to be stimulated, so they're a little more likely to go hang gliding or something like that? To go base jump diving? Huh? That's a broken person? We need to all kind of stay in our little productivity lanes? Is that what it is? We drive fast cars? That's wrong? Huh? There's no drug for the human condition, bitch. Stop telling these people they're sick just because they want to have a good goddamn time and they don't want to waste time being productive in some airless office somewhere eating Twinkies and drinking Four Locals like I did in college. All right, anyway, so that's one story that I ranted about. What else we got in the chamber? Let's see. Oh, yeah. So there was a bomb threat outside of Gracie Mansion, which is New York City's mayoral mansion. The two men, I say men loosely because I think I'm pretty sure one was 18 and one was 19. These are quote unquote men that you can't take people that age to the level of men because that's the age where you still lie about your height. You know what I mean? Like you're lying about your height and you're an idiot. You're a fucking idiot. So they should qualify men with young men because it matters. It matters when you're that dumb. Okay, so let's check this out. What's going on with this story? Yeah, they said they were inspired by ISIS is the gist of it. Look at that. It's showing Disney World. Whoa. Okay. Two improvised explosive devices brought to a counter-protest outside Gracie Mansion in New York City Saturday are being investigated as an act of ISIS-inspired terrorism, and the two suspects arrested in connection with the incident are facing federal terrorism charges, New York Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch said on Monday. Jessica Tisch. According to a federal criminal complaint released Monday, both suspects openly pledged allegiance to ISIS while in the presence of police, and one suspect allegedly told officers they, quote, wanted to carry out an attack bigger than the Boston Marathon bombing, which the suspect noted caused only 3 deaths. Oh, that's so sad. The only 3 deaths, huh? The explosive devices contain the volatile substance triacetone triperoxide, known as TATP, and were made to injure, maim, or worse. These are not hoax devices or smoke bombs. They were improvised, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we get it. It was serious. One of the devices was ignited and deployed at protesters in a crosswalk on East End Avenue and East 87th Street. The other device was detonated close by. A third suspected ID was found in the car of the suspects. Let's see. They're from Pennsylvania. Based on this, the way he's dressed, from experience, you know, from my own background, I know a first-generation American when I see one. This is very, very typical, very, very typical look of a person, like a disaffected first-gen American who, you know, they're aware, they're just acutely aware of the fact that they have somehow lost the opportunity to belong to the culture that their parents come from in any meaningful way. They're in this in-between place where, you know, you're not American, you're not quite the other thing, you're not quite American, you're kind of in between, it's weird. I'm just going to wear a hoodie and just, you know, be disgruntled and go on 4chan or something, you know, well, I guess if you're white, but if you're, you know, like whatever, some Facebook group, you go, you get high with your friends, you talk about the American imperialism. Hey man, we've all been there, okay? We've all been there, all right? Before you guys, before, listen, first gen Middle Easterners and the like, before you, the 20th century was basically predominantly about Latin America. People like me were born here by the dozens and thousands and thousands. And we did the same shit happened, okay? There were terrorist attempts, you know. This like Puerto Rican lady came and she shot up Capitol Hill, actually. I think the bullet hole is still in the ceiling, perhaps, possibly. And they were basically protesting for, you know, Puerto Rican sovereignty or whatever the fuck. They shot a senator in the leg. He had to be taken to a hospital. Okay, these were Latinos. This is what was happening. But I think if you read Hunter S. Thompson, his old articles on, you know, LA and the West Coast and stuff. I mean, Mexican nationals, wannabes, whatever, they were firebombing shit. The police were cracking heads. There was a lot of shit going on. So this has been seen before. And then, you know, before the Latinos, there were others. I mean, what about the Black Panthers? What about the, you know, Italian anarchists, you know, what about Sacco and Vanzetti, right? What about all those guys? Somebody assassinated the president, I think in 1901, or at least attempted to, I forget. So, yeah, I mean, this is basically the MO of this country is, look, and especially now, it's almost like hack. The way they're going through Iran and everything, it's like a old script that nobody even gives a fuck about performing well anymore. They're just up there, just like, yeah, we bombed them, and what are you gonna do about it? Blah blah blah. And then before, you know, at least I don't even know if it was better or not. They used to try to you know, install liberal democratic institutions in the country, you know, because they were still pretending that they were like liberal democracy, bringers of light and enlightenment and democratic processes and all of the, and that we're here to help you and stuff. Now they do not give a shit about that line of horseshit anymore. They go, or they're just straight up like, yeah, we bombed you, and we're not helping you either, actually. They're like, you know, just kind of going around, like, just like a bully, you know, just pushing people into bushes and pointing and laughing, taking their lunch money and or oil in this case, or whatever the hell, and uranium enrichment facilities, and running away. There's no shit given. No fucks are given now about pretending to bring democracy to any part of the Middle East or anywhere else. In fact, they kind of scorn that. You know why? Because the whole 20th century, the hypocrisy of the, you know, the liberal institution building, the fact that it just, for a lot of people, didn't work, and for a lot of countries, really translated into just some, you know, at best, just some flaccid, you know, CIA-backed puppet regime, but at worst, you know, like an actual tyrant who would kill and disappear thousands and thousands of people throughout the 20th century. So, you know, they are done pretending, right? The mask is off. That's the problem. You know, they probably would have kept pretending if it hadn't been for 9/11 and everything that came after, because the American public, through 9/11, you know, and all of the controversy around that, you know, with the Patriot Act and all that shit, they were the United States public, American citizenry, whatever, was basically walked through exactly what this country is over the last 20 years, just kicking and screaming, whether they liked it or not. You know, they saw everything that happened in Iraq and how that played out. And then the internet kicked in real high, you know, fucking hardcore. And then they got exposed to all of the shit that people from, you know, developing nations that had, you know, had tangoed with the U.S. and its interests, you know, if anybody, like Gaddafi, right, in Libya and everything. And people started to actually get informed about, you know, about how this country operates, and it's ugly, and, you know, but the thing is, there's nothing better, there's nothing else, and right, so far, all we've seen historically is that at best, you have a sort of benign, you know, control of things, but then at worst, it can get really bad, and this is not even as bad as it can get. So now we're just mired in this quandary where suddenly you wake up and the mask of this country's off, like the Terminator, that scene in Terminator 2 where the head, you know, his head gets ripped off, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's, and you see half his head, you see the robot metal gleaming underneath and the red eye burning into your retina, whatever. It's like the realization that you live in the Death Star. And I think for a lot of people, that's hard to come to grips with, because we grew up watching or knowing about, you know, through osmosis culturally, about Star Wars, for example, stories like that. It's like we were rooting for the rebels. You know what I mean? The rebels. But the rebels are ISIS. And that's a tough pill to swallow. That's a tough pill, because we're in a post Star Wars culture where suddenly you, like, up is down and down is up and black is white and white is black, and you suddenly realize that the Death Star was like a wealthy bastion of liberalism and prosperity, and that it comes at the expense of the subjugation of many, many satellite planets. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, that's where you're living. And the problem with, you know, first gen kids of people who immigrate from different countries is you're more like, you know, very likely to identify with the rebel cause, because, you know, that's just how it is. You're in between. It gives you a identity. It gives you something to be, you know, that's unique and sets you apart and kind of makes you more noble in your eyes than just everybody here just walking around buying shit, fucking loser consumers, capitalist scum, right? And it gives you something to make you feel less like a loser, to be that, to, you know, makes you a hero. You know, to be the rebel in Star Wars is to be the hero and to have powers, to have Jedi powers. And you're working for the right, for the light, for goodness, justice, all that shit, right? And so it doesn't matter how many people die when the Death Star gets exploded, because it was for good. It was all for good, and you're a good person. But the reality is that the Death Star was an actual nation, like a floating nation with an economy, and who's in there, right? Is it just Darth Vader and the military? Or is it a thriving economy of many, many people who are just living and trying to raise children, and maybe they don't even like the you know, the politics of the Death Star, but they, you know, and they protest. Maybe they do. Maybe they're trying to reform the Death Star. Maybe things are happening in there, but we'll never know, right? Because the whole thing just got blown up, and everybody in there, in this basically planet, died. And it was like lots of people died, you know, clowns and comedians and actors and grocers, or whatever the equivalent of that is in the future. And the conundrum with that is, you want good, right? You're like, well, what is the good then? I want to stand behind that. And the problem is, like, nobody, who knows necessarily, you know what I mean? Like, nah, that's not true. There's good. You know what's good. You know what's bad. But the thing is, blowing up Gracie Mansion, right? I think we can agree is actually not good. You know what I mean? Like, there's people in there. Blowing up the Death Star is a terrible, tragic thing, right? You blow up Darth Vader, but you blow up many, many other people. You blow up many schools, many colleges, right? Blowing up a school in Iran, not good. You know what I mean? Like, all of these things are not good. And I think the problem is that for humans, it's hard for us to come to grips with the reality that we are not good. We're not good. People are not good. People do good things. People do bad things. I don't know what the fuck we are. That's it. I have nothing to say, but I don't know what we are. I don't know what we are, but blowing up Gracie Mansion is probably not the good thing. I don't know what is, you know, maybe the fucking desert mystics are right. And it's all about love. And if we would just all come together and love each other, everything would just blossom into this age of Aquarius. I don't fucking know. But all I know is that this was supposed to be the age of Aquarius. And the only way it looks like the age of Aquarius is, like, it looks like we're about to blow everything underwater. So that's it. I don't know what we are. But you know what? Neither does this fucking kid. Neither does this kid. Neither does this 18 or 19-year-old kid. So, and neither does this idiot cop either behind him, this moron, or this idiot. I mean, look, if you really look at people, I mean, look how fucking stupid we are. I mean, look at our faces. Everyone is an idiot. Look at us. We are idiots. That's all I know. We don't know shit. Look at this. Nobody knows shit. You think this kid knows? No. You think this guy knows? No. What about this idiot? Hell no. You know, Look, it's the 150th anniversary of the first phone call, okay? Doesn't this make you want to just call somebody and say hello? And just kind of be like, hey, man, you know, I miss you or something. I don't know. Go call somebody. I'm telling you, man, call somebody. It's a good time to call somebody. Not because everybody, not everybody's having a mental health crisis, by the way. But some people are not doing so well because they're finally realizing that they live on the Death Star, right? And if you know, that's hard. That's a tough pill to swallow and move along with. So, especially after, you know, almost 100 years worth of Hollywood storytelling about how rebels are the good guys. You know what I mean? That's hard. That's hardwired into all of us to root for the rebels. And now rooting for the rebels means literally rooting for ISIS. So, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, huh? What's going on? So anyway, let's move on. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, the new supreme leader of Iran was elected. It's just basically the son of the guy that they just killed. So, you know, that's great. We did a great job. Great job in doing nothing. Let's see a little clip that I found interesting about, you know, basically who that guy is and what he stands for.
Functioning. Now, here's what's significant about Mujtaba. He's long been one of the most powerful but least visible figures inside Iran. He rarely appears in public, has never held elected office, and has never delivered a major public speech. Instead, he operated largely behind the scenes, inside his father's office, coordinating military and intelligence affairs. He also already carries at least some of the religious credentials expected of a senior cleric.
So essentially, this guy is the Dick Cheney of Iran. So we basically have the Dick Cheney of Iran, a guy who likes to go behind the scenes and do little power plays. So the only thing about that is Dick Cheney, I don't know, maybe this guy will also hate his own people enough to, you know, make some kind of deal that benefits him personally at the expense of, you know, Iran's sovereignty, and then they won't enrich Iran, uranium? I don't fucking know. Okay. So anyway, you know, good job, everybody. We're doing a great job here. Let's end with our final story. A Georgia teacher dies after a good-natured prank by his students results in a fatal car accident. This one, I'm going to cover this quickly because, you know, I mean, this guy, this is going to really drive the point home. You'll see. What basically happened with this guy is this. Late on Friday night, a group of teenagers in Gainesville, Georgia, drove to one of their teachers' homes, armed with rolls of toilet paper to toss over the trees as part of a good-natured prank. Their teacher knew it was coming and couldn't wait to surprise his students. But the ground outside was slick from rain, and the teacher, Jason Hughes, 40 years old, slipped and fell into the street as he headed toward the group, who by then had jumped into their vehicles and started to drive away. Among the group was Jaden Ryan Wallace, 18, who was accused of running over Mr. Hughes, a teacher at North Hall High School in Gainesville, with his pickup truck, as he and four others tried to drive away from Mr. Hughes' home, the Hall County Sheriff's Office said. There is so much about this to say. First off, pickup trucks suck. Nobody knows how to drive them is the issue. I have never had as much contact with pickup trucks as I do now since I moved to Texas. And let me tell you something. I think what's happening here, the fact that pickup trucks are one of the most maligned cars on the road today, the fact that the people driving them always seem to be like outstanding assholes, like at a level that you don't normally see in the average person, and that, you know, they just suck. Everybody hates them, and yet they're still around. And I think that the issue is it's similar to BMW cars. BMW's, you know, very responsive wheel makes, you know, it just handles under your hands so well that it makes you more of a reckless driver. BMW drivers are also known for being asshole drivers, and it's it's possibly, probably because of the fact that they handle the way they do, it just makes you want to go full throttle and, you know, make these turns and stuff because you can. It just gives you this advantage on the road that it's hard. It's very tempting to take advantage of. Now, the thing is, pickup trucks don't have that advantage, right? Pickup trucks are just a big battering ram on wheels. So the advantage is that you threaten people with this battering ram so that they get out of your way. That's the only way to drive a pickup truck when you're going fast. And that is the trick. People probably buy pickup trucks because they know that, so that they can go tailgate people and basically do the most dangerous thing you can think of to let people know that they should get out of your way because you're in a rush to go finger blast your girlfriend while her parents are not home. A lot of people who drive pickup trucks are dudes and like disgruntled middle-aged blonde women and asshole guys, middle-aged guys. And so the thing is that there is no good way to drive a pickup truck unless you're driving it strictly at a cool 45 miles an hour. That's the only way to respectfully drive a pickup truck. And that's the problem, is that I think people try to drive it the normal speed that all the other cars go, like 60 or something, right? And you can't. Because no matter how you drive a battering ram, if you're driving it at 60 miles an hour, people will think you're kind of a dick. So you have to just drive it at 45 miles an hour, and that's the only way people put up with your shit. And the fact that you have such a shitty car, because then it's like you're actually probably using it to carry shit. That's one. Two, this guy's 18 years old. He already killed one more person than those two idiots at Gracie Mansion managed to, and he wasn't even trying. So you see, the power of stupidity reigns supreme still to this day. And that's another observation. And now finally, here's the thing. See, we don't use our phones anymore, right? These kids had to get rolls of toilet paper, get in a car, get together to go roll this guy's house. If we had phones and still used them as such, this probably could have never happened. And instead, they would have just prank called this idiot fucking guy. And then he would have maybe, you know, I don't know, prank called them back. Everybody would have had a good laugh. And he would still be alive today. So I really do think on the 150th anniversary of the first phone call, that maybe we may want to go back and kind of go back to that again and do some more phone calls, okay? Walkie-talkie. Do whatever the hell. I don't know, get two tin cans and tie a string between them and talk to your neighbor. Like, talk to anybody, dude. Talk to anybody on the phone. Call them. Because, look, people are literally dying because we don't use phones anymore. That is my final commentary. That's all the time I have today. Thank you so much for tuning into the Melissa Diaz Report. I was Melissa Diaz. And now it's time for me to go and snuggle with my baby. Okay, so have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you next week. And goodbye.